Whiskey and Swede washes over me in dizzying waves.
I don't know why he's been like this. His sister's an angel, by Lord. I only turned me back for a minute, and then he turned on me. Come on, hurry!
I can practically feel the bullock's snorting nostrils at my back. But before he reaches us, I catch sight of a red telephone box in Marketplace. It's one of the boxes which will become as familiar to me as my own home over the next few months, but for now it's nothing less than heaven sent. I pull the farmer in behind me, heaving the door firmly shut. I lean back, trying to stop the old man from falling onto me in the cramped booth, when the animal slides to a stop in the muddy water and crashes up against the door in front of us, his huge flaring nostrils puffing steam onto the glass, brown eyes looking up, terrified. He lets out a long whine as though someone has slowly and deliberately stepped on his tail, then slumps down head first in the mud and gives up the chase. And that's why I was late for my first day at work, and why I failed my first inspection. A loud bang at the front door woke me from the deepest of sleeps. Rubbing my eyes, I stretched, noticing that the rain had finally stopped after weeks of constant downpour. The first frost of the year was sparkling round the edge of the window, and it was a clear, starry night. Between the trees, a yellow half-moon lit up the clock, 3:10 in the morning. I looked out of the window and down at the front garden, where a figure in a black helmet and greatcoat was shifting from foot to foot. Shivering, I got dressed quickly and ran downstairs, trying not to wake my landlady, then peeped round the door. A twitchy young policeman stood on the front step, breathless from running.
"Grab your things, we need you down at the station, we've got a situation."
"Hello, Bill, what is it?" I whispered, my words puffed out in white clouds.
"We've picked someone up on the Great North Road, she's in a bit of trouble, Sarge says you to come right away and bring your coat."
I grabbed my hat and bag, and we walked at a brisk pace into town. There wasn't another person in sight, not even the milkman or a hint of morning sun. The only sounds were the shop shutters swinging and the clatter of our boots. As we walked, PC Bill Bryant explained to me that the woman they'd brought in was, as he put it, a lady of the night. He said they were often picked up on the Great North Road near the army barracks, selling their wares along the roadside. I'd never seen one of these women in real life and was a bit apprehensive, but as the only female police officer at the station, it was my job to be there when a woman was brought in, so I had to put on a brave face. I soon got used to getting dragged out like this at all hours. Bill chattered on excitedly.
"She was found by traffic patrol wandering onto the road, drunk as a lark. She could have been killed."
He revelled for a moment in the drama. As he spoke, I tried to remember all the offences it might be possible she'd committed. I'd just spent the last 13 weeks at the training centre, learning the ins and outs of every angle of policing, and I scanned my mind, thinking back to the big textbooks we'd had to memorise. Drunk and incapable? It would be at least that, surely. But at that time in the morning, groggy with sleep, everything seemed a blurry haze. Richmond Police Station consisted of two small stone cottages knocked through into one. The main room was more like a cosy sitting room, with, amongst other things, two chairs at a table and a blazing open fire. As we walked in, Sergeant Cleese, the duty sergeant in charge of the night shift, was holding up a woman at the front desk. In the flickering firelight, she looked a bit the worse for wear, though she was very tall and elegant, a bit like a young Betty Davis, with lavender silk gloves right up to the elbows, a silver fox fur with a real fox's head draped over one shoulder, and with her hair piled up in high curls. I noticed that the makeup round her eyes had smudged, and there was a large, bloody cut on her lip. As we came in, she made a dash for the door, shouted something incoherent, burst out laughing, then into tears, and collapsed onto the floor at my feet.
"What a lovely hat," she slurred, then slumped over.
"Oh, good, Rhodes, you're here."